Well, good evening and greetings in the name of Christ Jesus. It's a joy to be with you. We count it a privilege and an honor to share together in these times that we have this evening and tomorrow, God willing. So Janice and I are always glad to be with God's people, with the redeemed, the saints, the called out ones. It's a real joy to me. The older I get, the more I value and treasure the times together with the believers, with the saints. And so thank you all for coming out this evening to share together. I thought I would maybe begin with a little something here as a children's lesson. So if we can do that, that would be a blessing. Maybe if I could have a couple of volunteers, maybe two volunteers, say between the ages of, maybe 8 to 12 or something like that. And what you'll need to do will be very simple, be very easy. It's something you can very easily do, so don't be bashful. I need someone to help us to demonstrate what it is to abide in the vine. So who's my volunteers this evening? Do we have any 7 to 12-year-olds here tonight? Maybe 6? 6 to 10, 11, 12? Somebody to come up here and help me for just a moment. All right. Thank you, young ladies. And what is your name?
Sierra.
Sierra and?
Rebecca.
Rebecca. Okay, Rebecca and Sierra. Now, I have here a light bulb, and I wonder if you could figure out how to make that light bulb glow other than plugging it in, making it bring light. What do you think? You think there's any way we can make this thing bring out some light without plugging it into the source? What do you think? Maybe if you get your dad to rub it real hard or something, you think it might make light? Probably not. All right. So what we see here is, in order for this to be able to give us some light, we have to plug it in. So this would be like, this is the branch, and here we have the vine. So Sierra and Rebecca, why don't you come and see if you can plug that in for us, and let's see what'll happen. All right. We take that branch, and we connect it to the vine, and we got light. Very good. All right. Now, in order for this light to remain on, it needs to have that connection, doesn't it? So what I want you to do, Sierra, why don't you take this cord here, and Rebecca, you can take that other cord over there somewhere. And now you can just sort of play with it. See if you can make it go up and down, make it jump around, and maybe even turn it like a jump rope and just sort of play around with your relationship there. Maybe you have to, look what happened. The light went out. Why? Why did the light go out? Just a minute. Why did the light go out? It got disconnected. The branch got disconnected from the vine. So let's plug that in again. All right. Okay. And now let's see if we can jump some more rope. Let's play around with this cord and let's see what happens to this light. Maybe we should get someone up here to jump rope, huh? Oh my. A little bit more. Get a little more aggressive there. Let's see what's going to happen. Woo! Make it go up and down, jerk it around a little bit more, get a little farther apart. There you go, a little harder, yes, a little harder, and there we go! Whoa, Jesse got hit on the head next. Are you okay? No, nobody got hit. All right, now here, we're going to have to do something to this. Because you know what? In order for that light to be making light, it has to stay connected. And you know, that's just how it is for us. In order to bring forth a vibrant life of life in Jesus and connection, we must make that connection very secure. We must make our commitment and our calling and election very sure. Okay, now, there we go. Rebecca and Sierra, go ahead. Let's try this again. Go ahead and pull on, jerk it around a little bit, and just see if you can get that apart. Come on, a little harder. Ah, look at that. Yeah, they can't get it apart. You know what? That's an illustration of when our commitment is sure in Christ Jesus, and we have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, and we are daily abiding in Christ, then the Word of God tells us in John that no man is able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. We are secure in our Father's hand. We are secure in Jesus Christ, and our light keeps shining. Hey, thank you, girls. Let's give them a hand. All right. Very good. Very good. Okay. So we might need this a little later. All right. We'll just sort of put that right there. And let's read now in our Bibles from John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, and they are cast into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I written unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Father in heaven, once again we come, Lord, asking for the revelation of Jesus Christ upon your word to our hearts, Lord. Father, thank you for each one that is gathered here tonight. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that this would be an evening of praise and glory and adoration to our Lord Jesus Christ, a time of growing together, a time of strengthening, a time of blessing, Lord, in your presence. Father, I ask that you would be exalted and you would receive all the glory of everything done here tonight. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that this evening as we're together here, the revelation of Jesus Christ would be illuminating unto us. And Father, no darkness could hide, and that tonight as we're together, the enemy would have no place in our hearts or in this service in any way. That this would be a defeat to the devil and a victory unto Jesus. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You know, sometimes familiarity breeds contempt. You know, we get so accustomed to the Word of God that we can sort of read over it and it just sort of goes over our heads. But my prayer tonight is that as we are familiar with the Word of God, yet the Lord would grant us for the Word to be alive and fresh in our hearts. That God would speak to us here this evening. I am the true vine, says Jesus, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Over the hill from where we live, there in Farmersville, there's an orchard on the north side of Catsback. And we call it Ben Shirk's Orchard, but by now it's his son or maybe grandson. I'm not sure, but anyway, probably a son. And anyway, when I come by that orchard at a certain time of the year, I see him out there, and it looks to me like he's just butchering those trees. I mean, there is branches laying on the ground. He's got apple trees. He's got peach trees, probably some pear and some other various fruits, and, of course, all varieties of apples and so forth. And when he's out there pruning, he is taking away the branches that he, by his wise, discerning eye, he recognizes that branch needs to be removed because it will only draw sap and strength from the vine that will take away from the lush fruit that he's looking for. You see, he doesn't want just these little runty apples. He wants nice, big, juicy, tasty apples, and he knows what he's doing. Well, I look at that, I drive by, and I'm not a vine dresser by any stretch of the imagination, and I think, wow, he is sure butchering those trees. It looks like there's more branches on the ground than on the tree. You know, sometimes it can feel that way in our life. It's like the Lord is looking upon us, his sons and his daughters, whom he dearly loves, and he desires fruit from my life. He desires fruit from your life. Bountifully, lush, beautiful fruit. And he says, you know, I could let Aaron go, but I love him too much for that. I can let you go, but I love you too much. I want you to be bearing much fruit to the glory of God the Father. And I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to purge. I'm going to do some pruning. You see, every son whom the Lord receiveth, he scourges or purges. He delights in us. It says there in the Old Testament, that same reference, the Father, he gives instruction and chastening to the Son in whom he delights. And tonight, my brother, my sister, as we are in Christ Jesus, we're his beloved son and his beloved daughter in whom he delights. I heard a brother once say this, you know, I just love conviction and chastening. And he's had plenty in his life. You would know him if I'd say the name, some of y'all. He's probably about my age, maybe a little younger. But he says, you know what? That lets me know. God isn't finished with me yet. I'm his beloved son. Because chastening is an evident, absolute token that I'm a beloved son of God. Because if you do not endure chastening, then the scripture's going to tell us, then are ye bastards and not sons. So, oh, tonight, that we would welcome conviction and purging. And you know, as we grow and mature in the Lord, it may not be something sinful, outright sinful. It may be acceptable. It may even be allowed. And maybe your sister or your brother can do it. But God says, come on now. You should be in third grade by now. Let's go on and upward. Come on, let's press in to greater fruitfulness and greater maturity. And so he may take something out of our lives because it's just a drain from being fruitful. Well, he says then, you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Let's say that again. Without me ye can do nothing. You know, sometimes I think that takes a while for us to have that really sink in. Because, you know, we sort of can do something. But, you know, as I become self-conceited and proud and think I can handle this now, I've gone through that fire and that storm, and now I have some experience, and now I can make it. Oh, God forbid. God resisteth the proud, the self-sufficient. Oh, but he gives bread and nourishment to the hungry and to the needy. And when I see my neediness and my nothingness, that without him I can do nothing of eternal value. Sure, I can maybe do something that some people might think is great achievement or so forth or whatever. And people make great achievement in the world by world standards. But oh, by God's standards. I want to be fruitful by God's standards. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. You know, this light bulb, there is just simply no way for this light bulb to stay on when it is disconnected from the source. Now, you know what? It's still a light bulb. It has the appearance of a light bulb. It has the form of a light bulb. You know, that's how some Christians are. They have a form of godliness. They have a form of being religious. Going to church, doing the right things, maybe putting money in the offering and all these different things. The form's still there. It hasn't changed. It's still a light bulb. But that light bulb, no matter how hard it tries, it cannot make light of itself. It must be connected to the power source. My dear brother, sister, tonight, just like that simple little illustration, we cannot bear fruit of ourselves. Put that out front there. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Oh, but the good part. The good part. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Oh, praise God tonight. It's my desire that the saints will be edified tonight. It's my desire that our hearts will be encouraged and our hearts will be stirred and inspired to abide in the vine. A strong connection that when the temptations come and the hosts of hell assail, my anchor holds. My heart is fixed. The psalmist said, my heart is fixed. And we sing the little song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. though none go with me, though the world deride me, no turning back. I'm connected to Christ Jesus. I'm abiding in the vine, and no man is able to pluck me out of the Father's hand. My anchor holds, though the angry surges roll. My anchor holds. I'm secure in Jesus. Hallelujah. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He gives us a bit of a warning. He says, if a man abide not in me, verse 6 of John 15, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So one day I come down over the north side of that Catsback Hill, and Ben Shirk's son had got this big brush pile. He's now gathered up all those branches that he pruned off of the tree, and he's got this big brush pile out at the end of the orchard, out behind the barn. And on a bit of a foggy, rainy morning, when he's sure it won't be any danger to the community and the society or his barns, he lights that thing. And those branches are burned. It's a warning to us tonight. If anyone does not abide in Jesus Christ and the life sap flows from the vine into the branch, and that relationship is broken, he's no longer abiding there. Maybe the love of other things. Maybe the love of pleasure. Maybe the love of ease. Maybe the desire for gain and wealth or fame. Whatever it is. Maybe the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. And that connection begins to sever. Like these young ladies, Sierra and Rebecca, were playing around with that cord. Maybe you're playing around with your relationship with Jesus tonight, and you want one foot in the pleasure of the world and the other foot in the kingdom of Christ and of our God. And you're sort of playing games with that connection. Yeah, I got born again. I committed my heart to the Lord Jesus back 2-3 years ago. But how is it tonight? Are you going onward and upward and graduating from the first grade to the second grade? And you're buried? Or are you just drinking milk yet tonight like a babe? And we can't talk to you about the more spiritually discerning things, the deeper things, the higher things. Press into Christ and become fruitful and mature. Not tossed about with every wind of sleight of doctrine of cunning men that lie in wait to deceive. How's that connection tonight? Well, we could have brought a branch in here to illustrate this better, but it's what I had tonight, so I hope it'll suffice. But you know, a branch cut off from the tree doesn't take long for it to start withering, and you know that. Our lives are dependent upon our vital connection to the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. We really are. How's your prayer life? How's your meditations in the Word of God? Reading the Scriptures, are they a delight to you? Or are they boring because you're watching too many videos and the scriptures are boring? I have a real desire to see all of us prosper and be fruitful. I'm not saying these things to scold, but I'm just wanting to warn us. You know, what we feed on, what we delight in, what we feed and eat and drink and breathe, we become. You know, I thought the man just couldn't talk very much. He's just a quiet guy. He doesn't have anything to say. As we were gathered around and some of us were talking about the Lord and sharing some scriptures together, and well, this one guy just didn't have anything to say. Till another guy walked up and then they started talking about their hunting. Wow, he had a lot to say then. He wasn't quiet after all. And I'm not saying you can't go hunting. Don't misunderstand me. But you know where your heart is, there your treasure is. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. If anyone does not abide in me or remain in that vital connection, he is thrown out and broken off like a branch, and it withers and dies, and they gather such branches and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. John Baptist said, the axe is laid to the root of the trees, therefore every tree which bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And so as I go past Ben Shirk's orchard, and those branches are just crackling and burning and ablaze, it reminds me to abide in the vine, to abide in Christ Jesus, that my life may be fruitful. If ye abide in me, oh, bless God. If ye abide in me. Verse 7. And my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Oh, hallelujah. You abide in Jesus Christ, and you sit at the feet of Jesus, and you hear the good shepherd's voice, and you begin to get in harmony with him. And you ask according to his will? Wow. And you start seeing answers to prayer? You ask what you will, and you long and desire for it, and you have a passion for it, and you're asking according to the will of God, and God hears your prayer and answers your prayer. I'll tell you, that's way more exciting and rewarding than the buck tractor pull or the truck pull or whatever it is. The power of God by the Holy Ghost in you. The life of Jesus flowing into you. Christ in you. Ah, it's a beautiful hope of glory. And it's a glory that fadeth not away. After the sound of the tractor dies down and the smoke's all gone and the noise has stopped and you lay there in your bed and you're feeling empty. But oh, a season with Jesus, oh, the refreshing from the presence of the Lord. At thy right hand are joys forevermore. Yes. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. If ye abide in Christ, and my words abide in you. Ah, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Because he found the source of life. Others are discouraged and messing around and falling in their Christian life. But you who are abiding in Jesus by the rivers of water Ah, you shall bring forth fruit in your season, and your leaf also shall not wither. How's your life tonight? Is your life feeling dry? Are you feeling a little withered? Oh, you can come tonight to the fountain of life, Christ Jesus, and drink and be refreshed. Yes, we can always come to Jesus. I appreciated the singing tonight. We can come with our weariness and our heaviness. We can come with our temptations for sin and all this other stuff. We can come and bring them to Jesus. Say, Lord, I want Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Ah, yes. Much fruit. Jesus said in another place, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Much fruit. Oh, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Very quickly, we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. Much fruit. Ah, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Herein is my Father glorified, that you love much. Paul said it this way, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love. Yes, 1 Thessalonians 3:12. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love. Love one toward another. Fruitfulness. Ah, yes. Much fruit. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all things. Yes. Above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, or fervent love. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. The Amplified reads like this. Above all, have fervent and unfailing love for one another. It is so vital in our marriages. It's so vital in our homes with our children. It is so vital in our church fellowships, that we have, above all things, fervent love. Because love covers a multitude of sins. It overlooks wrongs done to it, unkindnesses, and it unselfishly seeks the best of others. Oh, Lord, I want to abound and increase in love. Jesus said it this way in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. You know, the scriptures specifically speak to the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He says, if you have loved one for another, like I have loved you, the people in the world are going to take notice. They're going to see, behold how they love one another at Cross Keys. Look at the way they lay down their lives for each other. Look how they help each other out. Look how they forgive wrongs. Look how they forbear one with another. I mean, just look at how they love one another. Yes! By this will all men know that ye are my disciples. Oh, how does this love come about? I can't muster it up. You can't either. It becomes as a fruit of the Holy Ghost, fruit of the Spirit of abiding in the vine. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, much love. The next fruit of the Spirit we see there is joy. Oh, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Joyfulness, a cheerful countenance, a cheerful heart, a rejoicing heart. In other places in Scripture it said we have joy unspeakable. I mean, you can hardly put it in words. It's just, well, the joy of the Lord is just empowering and quickening my mortal body, my mortal being. It's just overtaking as I'm abiding in the vine, because from the vine flows the sap and the fruit has to come out. A man shared with me about the power of grafting a branch into the vine of an older, mature tree. Ben, would you know about that? He said, it is so amazing to see. If you plant that little vine by itself with its little root system, it'll grow at a certain rate. But you take and you graft that vine into a mature root system and stump of a tree, and it will just burst and grow amazingly. I couldn't verify it. Like I said, I'm not a vine dresser. But would that be a true statement, you think? He was an orchard guy, and he had some experience with that. Yes. It all comes from Jesus. All the glory goes to Him. It's not because Aaron is such a joyful person. It's because my Savior is such a great Savior. And His life, His resurrection life, flows in my body, in my being. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Yes. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Much joy, much cheerfulness, much rejoicing. Oh, that makes for a happy home. Hey, I want to come home to that kind of a home. Have you ever wondered why the children don't want to come home? Why the youth can't wait to get out? Could it be because there's strife, animosities, resentments? Unforgiveness? Hatred? Oh, come on. Let's grow up in Jesus and repent of those things. And let our houses be houses of joy. Much fruit of joyfulness. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Love, joy, peace. Oh, peace. Much peace, inner peace. Psalm 119, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119, 165. Oh, here's my Father glorified, that we bear much fruit and we have a peace. Such a restful peace, an inner peace, a deep settled peace. I'm at peace with God. I'm at peace with my brother. I'm at peace with my wife. I'm at peace with my youth, my children. I'm at peace with the guy at the hardware store. I'm at peace with the IRS. I have nothing to hide. Praise God, I'm at peace. Wow, peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin and woe. Ah, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you, but my peace I give unto you, said Jesus. It's a peace that passes understanding. It surpasses human wisdom and human understanding. It's a deep, heartfelt peace. And nothing shall offend them. Nothing causes them to stumble. I'm not offended. Because I have this great peace in my heart. So what if they cast out my name as evil? So what if they say bad things about me? So what if they bully me? You know, it's really sad in our day that people who don't even know you can make you feel bad. They call it bullying. And people live for approval. But you know, until we have the approval of Christ deeply settled in our hearts, we will always be grasping. How many likes did I get on that post? Not as much as he did or as she did. And all somebody has to say, you're a nerd. I don't like you. Oh. I want to really urge us here tonight. Relationship with Jesus Christ, relationship with your parents, relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, those whom you can see. Fellowship together with real people. The people that post these social statuses often aren't real. They're fake. And you don't know it because how would you know? You never met them. You don't know what they're like on Monday and Tuesday. So I'm just talking to you as a father a bit here. Sons and daughters, honor your father, your mother. Brothers, sisters, honor your elders. Give them double honor. Live in peace. Oh, great peace. Let the peace of God rule and reign in your heart. It's a beautiful blessing. Oh, much peace. Great peace. Oh, it comes from being secure in Jesus. It comes from abiding in Christ and then to be at peace with my fellow men. Much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Being patient one with another. Bearing with one another. Bearing long with. When will he ever get it? Come on, brothers, sisters, we're in this for the long haul. We're going to get it. With God's help and your help, we're going to get it. We're going to make it. I welcome reproof. I welcome correction and instruction in my life. Come on, don't cast me out. Bring me along. Speak to me. Don't just say, well, he should know better. Oh, I can't believe he did that. No, come on. Let there be long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and faith and forbearance one with another. Patiently bearing with one another. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You put that together, you have a recipe for success, if I may use that word. You have a recipe for fruitfulness. You have a recipe for unity, oneness. In your marriage, in your family, in your church, patience, bring with joyfulness. You mean I got to do up with that guy one more day? No, with joyfulness. Hey, he's coming. He's making some progress. He's not where he was. He came from way back here to here. He's in second grade now or third. Praise God. Oh, yeah, I had a little stumble there. But don't I ever have a little stumble? The Bible says the righteous man falls, but he what? He gets up again, he gets up again. Come on. And if he can't get up by himself, come alongside and help him up. You that are so spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness and come along and help him. But it takes patience. It takes long suffering. But God sees it all. When he wrote to the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation, he said, I know thy works. And thy labor and thy patience. Ah, I see how you've borne, how you bore that load patiently. You have borne and you have had patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Sometimes I wonder how many times do we give up when we're just ready to see the breakthrough and see the victory. He says, you bore. You have borne and have patient, and you kept right on laboring, sowing, plowing, counseling, encouraging, and you didn't faint. How does it say in Hebrews? I believe it's chapter 6 there, where he says that we shall reap in due season if we faint not. Much fruit. I am the vine, ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Hey, wouldn't that be wonderful? Much long-suffering. Much long-suffering in the marriage. Much long-suffering in the family. Come on, son. Let me guide you a little bit here. Nah, I don't want you to do this tonight. But hey, let's you and I go for a bike ride, or let's you and I go fishing. I don't really want you with those guys. Some of those guys aren't the best company. Hey, listen to your dad. He's got some wisdom. Much long-suffering, much patience. The husband waiteth. He waiteth. Much patient, waiting for the rain to fall. The early and the latter rain to fall. For the harvest to come. For the fruit to come to maturity. Much long-suffering. Yes, it's found in Jesus. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Patience is found in Jesus. I'm not patient by nature. I mean, when that guy cuts me off in traffic, I sometimes feel that unholy feeling rising in my breast. And I say, now, Aaron, stop it. It lets me know how much I'm still alive in the flesh, you know? And well, now that was about enough. That driver sure is an idiot. Have you ever thought those thoughts, or am I the only one that ever does something like crazy? Anyway. Much gentleness, an excellence of character, demeanor, marked by kindness. Yeah, he that abideth in me shall bear much gentleness, much fruit. It's a supernatural fruit. It's a spiritual fruit. Yeah, we can discipline ourselves and try harder and all that sort of stuff. But you know what? That finally gets old. And someday the stack will blow. As your wife or your husband ever said, well, it's just waiting for it to blow. One of these days, the lid will come off. Oh, I hope there's nobody here like that. But you know, if we don't take those things to the cross and deal with them, take them to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess our sins, and we sort of start piling them up and stacking them up, you know, that can happen. And our feigned gentleness is blown and our cover is blown. Oh my God, help us. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, much gentleness and goodness, uprightness of heart and life. Here is my Father glorified. Did you bear much fruit? Faith. Yes, faith. Fruit of the Spirit. You see, our faith grows, and our faith grows exceedingly as we exercise our faith and we walk in believing God. Lord, I believe your word. Lord, I believe your promises are yes and amen. And I believe they are for me. Yes, even me. I can see it's for him, but what about me? Oh, tonight, my brother, my sister, the promises of God are for you. Oh, believe. Believe God. Believe the word of God. It's forever settled in heaven. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. And we could go on down the list. And by faith, you, my brother, are where you are tonight. By faith, my sister, my brethren, my sisters, tonight, we are where we are tonight by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and are abiding in Him with an obedient faith. Yeah, Abraham, Moses, Noah, they walked in obedience. And faithfulness, yes. 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? I like to put the question mark there. Who is he that overcomes the world? Question mark. But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Ah, yes, by faith in Jesus Christ, my Savior. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Temperance, self-control. Yeah, I could. It's lawful, but maybe it's not expedient. And so temperance says, no, thank you. Temperance. Self-control. How many are led about like with a ring in their nose by their own passions and lusts, and they cannot say no? Therefore, we're gluttons, drunkards, drunk with pleasure, drunk with wealth and materialism, all of these different things. Oh, but as we abide in Christ Jesus, in the vine, and that life flows into our branch, it produces the fruit of temperance, of self-control. I have loved you. I have loved you, verse 9, just as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love, abide in my love. And do not doubt my love for you. You know, sometimes we need a deeper revelation of the love of Jesus Christ. That sure sense of belonging. I am His. He is mine. His banner over me is love. He brings me to the banqueting table. And there we feast together at the banqueting table. With Jesus, my Savior. That table may even be set in the presence of mine enemies, but they can't partake. They don't know the love that I know. One of the disciples said, well, Jesus, how are you going to manifest yourself to us and reveal your love to us and not to them? Ah, Jesus said, they don't keep my commandments. They don't pursue me. They don't delight in me. They're not partakers of this kind of love like we have. Yes, now God's love is unconditional towards sinners. But God's love towards His children is based upon our obedience to Him. You can read that right there in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter 16. I am not preaching heresy. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Who that loves me will keep my commandments. And my Father and I will love him. And we will come to him. And we will make our abode with him. We will take up residence with him. Ah, God bless you, brother, sister. Thank you for allowing me to share my heart tonight. And I pray God's blessing. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Father, I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus that your word would be precious unto us. We would hide it in our hearts and we would partake and eat and drink at your table, and we would stay vitally connected, and our connection would grow. Maybe even here tonight, someone's connection has just been strengthened a bit more, just grew a little stronger. Lord, I thank you for that, and I pray your blessing upon your children, and I ask in Jesus' name you be glorified. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.